Hi, I'm Michael Bevan. You're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show.
This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 4, Episode 13. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can call us on
0208 816 7691.
And you can email us on
coach@pitchvision.com.
My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I'm joined by Mark Garraway. Well, it's another show, the 206th in a row that I have been on, and I'm still going strong. So how's it going, Garris?
I haven't been on as many shows, but I'm going incredibly strongly as well, so that's all good.
Well, I'd say I think if we take the 80-20 rule, I'm definitely the 80 and you're the 20 in terms of the quality of contribution. I'm the volume and you're the...
I wouldn't say that, mate, necessarily. But it's good to do 206.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and we've got the IPL starting this week, of course, which is very exciting. Who have you got your eye on for IPL success this year?
Well, I went with KKR last year, and they did well, so that was all good. But I think it's between, again, KKR and Chennai, really. They're the two sides that have been most consistent. I think if you're looking for somebody outside of that group, you're looking at Mumbai have probably underperformed a bit in the last couple of years. So those three will be in the mix. But I think KKR have got some good coaches. They've got a good group of players. And I think they've worked out the way that they play best to give themselves the best chance in the format.
So do you think there's going to be, skill-wise, do you think there's going to be things that are going to stand out differently from a normal 2020 tournament?
I don't think so. Something normally does pop out of the woodwork, doesn't it? Somebody comes up with a new shot or a new delivery, and which is why we're so excited, I think, about the IPL. But I think really it's about getting the things that we now know that work, getting more Yorkers in there and spreading those Yorkers across the whole of the 20 overs rather than just sort of confine them to the end. I think that's really, really important. That's why somebody like Malinga goes so well in the IPL, because he bowls a huge number of Yorkers. I think that's important. I'm interested in the power hitting, as everybody is really, and seeing how many people can set themselves proper bases and then really hit from those proper bases. And obviously the other thing that I think has improved massively over the course of the IPL from each edition to edition is the fielding. And again, seeing how that can go again to another level. And it's been great to see the evolution of Indian fielding as a result of the influence of the IPL. And I'm looking for that to continue.
There's been a few different approaches, as usual. For example, Rajasthan have been looking for players who can do a little bit of everything and under the radar type players. And then there's other sides who have gone for the bigger names. There's been some interesting big money signings for players you wouldn't necessarily expect looking at their traditional statistics. So is there some tactic which is going under the radar that people aren't going to necessarily notice, some way of building a team that's slightly different from just looking at the averages?
Yeah, well, I think in certain franchises' case, it's driven by budget as much as anything else, to be honest. That's normal, isn't it? Within any professional world, you're going to have certain franchises or clubs that are going to have more budget available to spend lots of money on players of high standard, or even players that haven't necessarily proven themselves in any format of a cricket as yet, which we've seen a couple of times this year with some astounding figures for players. And it's going to be interesting to me to see how some of those players manage the expectation, which obviously goes with big figures. So that's going to be the first thing. And I think in Rajasthan Royals' case, that's very much driven by budget and not wanting to overspend. And it'll be interesting to see how they mould that team, because that's going to be crucial. Players that aren't necessarily superstars, you want to be getting each player to punch sort of 10% above their weight. And that's pretty much what they did in the first edition, which Rajasthan won, when everybody came together, worked really hard, all sung from the same hymn sheet, and ended up winning the tournament against all of the odds.
And we can go from the IPL, the very top level in Indian domestic cricket with all those superstars, and we can head straight to the grassroots, because this week we've got an interview with Imtiaz Ahmed, who runs the IACA Cricket Academy, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what he does at a grassroots level to help develop young players in India. So stay tuned, because after the music, we've got an interview with him. It's time for our interview on the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show. And this week, I'm joined by Mr. Imtiaz Ahmed, who runs a cricket academy, the IACA. And welcome to the show, Mr. Ahmed.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir.
So you have quite a detailed experience of playing and coaching. You played first-class cricket, and also you've coached the likes of Rahul Dravid. What was it like coaching a young player who turned out to be such a talented cricketer?
We basically take up the 10-year-old boy in Bangalore. Take up 10-year-old boys and ask them to stay in the academy for about 8 years. And then he's about ready by about 18 to play for the under-19 Karnataka side. Yeah. Under-19 Karnataka side.
So what makes a player stand out? You've coached Rahul Dravid. What makes a player stand out? Did you see he had a rare talent before he started playing at a high level?
Absolutely. When you talk about the ratio, it's about, out of 100 boys, you get one boy with that kind of dedication, because you're not short of numbers in India. So we get Rahul Dravid once in out of 100 boys, and saw a little bit of promise early in him. And the most important thing is the dedication shown by Rahul and the appetite for runs. So like when he used to go into bat, the juniors used to tell me not to send him opening or one down, because he would consume all the 40, 50 overs. So they would not get into bat. So they always said Rahul Dravid is a slow player. So I was not able to, get him into the batting order in the higher thing. But Rahul always stayed at the wicket, and he wanted to consume as many overs as possible right from his inception from the grassroots level.
That's interesting that you talk about determination being the difference between a talented player and a player who isn't going to make it. Is that what you think makes the difference between a professional and an international cricketer and someone who's only going to play for enjoyment?
Absolutely. When you bifurcate the also-rans and the persons who are special, always tell parents when you go to a market and buy the fruits, you don't go and put your hand into every kind of fruit, but you go checking, and then you start taking them bit by bit. The best, so the best finally come out, because you talk to all the boys, but the boy who takes it up seriously is the one who is the winner in the end.
Now you, as I mentioned before, you run the IACA, which is a very well-organized academy. What modern coaching methods have you seen that have come into the game in the last 5 to 10 years?
See, in our earlier days when I played for first-class cricket for Karnataka, we never even had anybody as a physical educator, to do the PT or the exercises before the next session. We all had to do it ourselves, and we had only a captain who took care of us, hardly a cricket coach. We had a manager who took us, and the cricket captain would be the coach as well. So today it's a different world altogether, with the emphasis on all this over-limited cricket. You have the emphasis on fielding. The most important aspect is the fielding in a 20-20 or a 50-over game. Many, many games get the result based on the fielding aspect. And the team which fields better is the winner at the end. So what my observation is, in those days, the physical fitness part was not given very much of importance. Now, Prasanna and Chandrasekhar played in the same era. And Chandra bowled India to victory at the Oval, if you remember, getting 12 for 102. In 1971, when Ajit Wadekar's people came there, so Chandra never ran more than one lap. Or Prasanna, who got 49 wickets versus Australia and New Zealand in a quintal, he would not run more than one lap. And there was nobody to ask us. And they were all, you know, the different kind of mind setting as far as cricket net practice was concerned. It's only that you just went there, ran one round, and everybody started batting and bowling. But today, the emphasis is on fielding, and they go to a gym today, and the support staff is unbelievable today. If you have 15 players going, you have about 8 to 10 people going as support staff. So which sums it up, that there are more, you know, people watching things very closely and keeping an eye on the intricate things of cricket coaching and cricket development.
Well, thank you very much for your time on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show today, Mr. Ahmed. And if somebody wanted to find out more about what you do at your academy, you have a website. What is the address of your site?
Absolutely, absolutely. You can go onto the website and probably have a look at it. And I'd just like to conclude, 1973, I played for the India Under-19 side. And I had the privilege of playing against Jeff Miller and Peter Booth, Peter Roebuck, and Christopher Cowdrey and all that. So I had a lot of good experience there playing in England as well.
Fantastic. Well, it's great to have you on the show. And for people listening, if you want more information, you can head to iaca.in.
Wonderful talking to you as well. God bless you.
Yes, great to speak to you. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Okay, so it's time for the yes-no round. Three questions. We can only answer yes or no to those three questions. So let's, without further ado, get straight into it. Question one. Delhi will win the IPL.
No.
No. Question two. 2020 is ruining players in longer formats.
No.
No. Question three. Eventually, freelance cricketers will be the norm.
Yes.
Yes. It's time for us to dip into the mailbag, and every week we have two questions, questions that are sent in by listeners to the show and readers to the Pitch Vision Academy website. And we've got a couple of likely lads this week with their questions. And the first one of those is from Imran. And Imran asks, I've searched a lot of dieting plans on the internet, but I haven't got a perfect one yet. Give me some advice about it and what diet plan I should use. I'm a fast bowler.
Well, again, it's not really an area of specialism, mate, to me, to be honest. I rely very heavily on people to advise me on these sort of things. But given that you're a fast bowler, I think protein is massively important for fast bowlers, because the rigours of the work that a fast bowler has to do and what they have to put their body through, they're always going to be getting micro tears in their quads and their backs, in their calves, all the way throughout their body, in their shoulders. So there's a lot of micro tears and a lot of fatigue that comes into all of the muscle groups. And in order for those to be replenished and to be repaired, then protein takes on a pretty significant role, and probably more so than people in the general population that aren't putting their bodies through so much. And the training regimes now that we have for fast bowlers and doing the push, the pulls, and the squats, and the core, and the lunges, and the core work, is so significant that we need to replenish those protein stocks on a regular basis. And obviously that's not always easy because people might have different diets based on their religious beliefs, or they might be a vegetarian. So trying to get that alternative source of protein into the diet isn't always an easy thing. And we've got a couple of players that I've worked with who are vegetarian, and obviously trying to build up protein levels through nuts and cheese and various things aren't particularly easy. So Sawyer is a good way of going about that. But most fast bowlers I work with are meat eaters and fish eaters. It allows them to replenish their stocks. And somebody like Stephen Jones, who's got has made a big impact on pitch vision. He would have been very much into protein shakes in order to replenish those micro tears and getting that muscle fatigue out of his body as quickly as possible. So there are ways of upping the ante in terms of protein and taking on protein shakes or protein bars as well. But, if you can get your diet absolutely right as a fast bowler and get the chicken and the beef and the fish into your system, then that will help in your recovery of the muscle tears that happen throughout the body, because it's such a rigorous task.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gary. I think nutrition is a nightmare because there's so much advice out there, and so often the advice contradicts, and there's so many people telling you things which are self-evident to them, and they aren't necessarily the answer that you want to hear. So you'll get people saying, oh, well, you know, just eat healthy, you know, put that into quote, oh, just eat healthy and that's all you need to do. You know, there's nothing more complicated than that. And then at the other end of the scale, there's people who are counting every calorie and, you know, getting their macronutrient balance correct and, you know, working out in the tiniest detail everything that they eat. And those people look at each other and go, well, and look at the other side and go, well, they're foolish. And then there's people who say, well, you should only eat food which is natural, you know, and there's this whole drive towards this concept of paleo and eating like people ate when we were cavemen, because that's the healthiest way to eat. And it's a massively complicated area. But there was a clue in your question, Imran, which got me thinking, which was, I've searched for a lot of dieting plans on the internet, but I haven't got the perfect one yet. Now, what that maybe says to me is that you are doing the right thing in looking for something which works specifically for you, because everyone is different. Everyone has different tolerances to different types of foods. Protein is important, as you say, Gareth, for pretty much everybody. But how much, for example, carbohydrates can you have, and what type of carbohydrates are best for you? It varies for different people. Some people can have dairy. Some people can't have dairy. Some people can have gluten. Some people can't have gluten. It's not just a thing that makes you ill. Sometimes you don't, for example, gluten, you don't even realize how good you feel without having gluten until you knock gluten out of your diet for a month. Now, it may be that that has no effect on you, or it may be that suddenly you feel a lot better. And that's the effect of the paleo diet. It doesn't necessarily work for everyone, but you have to try it. But my point is that you don't want to try something for a week and go, well, that didn't work for me. Or try something for a month, but only eat like that every other meal. You need to commit whatever it is that you're going to try. And it needs to be something which is based on some kind of sensible plan of eating. I mean, you don't want to have a cabbage soup diet or anything ridiculous like that. You want to have something which is sensible and something which is which seems to you to make sense. Then try it for 2 weeks, try it for 3 weeks, try it for a month, and get it right about 90% of the time. I mean, everybody has a lapse, you know. Food is food. Sometimes you want to have a pizza, sometimes you know you want to enjoy a drink after a game. It depends who you are and where you are in the world and all those kind of things. But you can definitely have times when you can eat some cake if you're on a paleo diet, for example. But if you get it right 80 to 90% of the time, then after that 4 week period, 3 week period, you can assess and you can say to yourself, okay, did that make a difference? Do I feel better? Am I performing better? Am I reaching my body composition goals, whatever they are, whether it's to increase the amount of muscle if you're a little bit small, or reduce the amount of fat if you're a little bit big? Work out what it is that you're trying to do, and then judge it against that, and then go from there. Really, see how it goes. You know, I would say I'm pretty happy with the way that my diet is now. I'm pretty dialed in, but it took me 5 or 6 years to get to where I am now. Just experimenting, trying different things, doing different ways of doing it. And I'm still experimenting now and again and going, okay, well, that sounds like an interesting theory. Let me try cutting gluten out of my diet for 2 weeks completely and see what happens. So it's a very individual thing. It's also one of these things which is directly affect your health, so you have to be very careful with it. But don't be afraid of experimenting, but also make sure that you do it within the context of reviewing how that works if you do it properly. And if you can do that, I think that's going to be the core of it. I'm going to stray away from any specific nutrition advice purely because I don't know enough about who you are. But whatever you try, and precision nutrition is a great one to try if you want to start somewhere and do a search for precision nutrition, then give it a good go. Do it 80 to 90% of your meals. And then at the end of a decent period of time, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, review it. See if it worked for you. If it didn't work for you, then move on to something else. And never listen to one person's advice. Always get as much information as you can. But that's true for anything, isn't it, Gareth?
It certainly is, mate, yeah. Getting as much info from as many different sources, basically informing yourself of everything that's out there. And then with that information that you've got, you can make an informed decision rather than just going on a whim or just going on something that one person said. So I couldn't agree more on that, mate.
There's no one size fits all. I mean, it's the same, you know, as we were talking about, you know, different ways of moving the other week. You know, there's no one thing that suits everybody. You know, you need to experiment and find out what works for you before you move on to what's worked for somebody else. Even if that guy is on YouTube with his shirt off saying, buy all my supplements and eat all my specially modified chicken. Let's go for the next question. Right, this is a long one. So let's see what you think about this, Gareth. It's from Brett. It says, I'm involved in coaching the younger generation through an under-11 club side. And one thing I've noticed is a great desire from the kids to play reverse sweeps, ramps and switch hits like they see on the TV. Obviously, coming from New South Wales in Australia, David Warner has a cult following. I'm struggling as I see many parents, especially fathers, encouraging these types of shots from the sidelines and in conversation with their children. Presently, I'm reluctant to give coaching instruction on these shots, but I wanted your opinion. Do I embrace them, provided the kids have a basic of batting, or do I steer them into more conventional shots?
Well, I think this is a common problem, isn't it, actually? It's a common, I wouldn't say problem, but it's a common thing that happens around cricket grounds because, you know, our exposure to all of these different shots through television and the internet now is massive, and it's going to play a part in any young person's development because they see their heroes on the television or on the internet playing these types of shots and they want to copy it. And also the parents do exactly the same. You know, they see this stuff going on and they want their kids to be doing it. And the bottom line is that actually a lot of these shots, like the ramp shot and the switch hit, they're great fun as well. And I would always encourage my players to have a go at them and enjoy having a go at them and finding out for themselves. So I think it is our job as a coach to know enough about these types of shots so we can teach them. But equally, I think it's also our job to educate both the kids and the parents that when you've got these resources, you want them as part of a package that has got the fundamentals in it. So the fundamentals of being able to defend, the fundamentals of a drive, the fundamentals of a pull shot. You know, those three there are the basics of any batting technique and any batting method. So I think one of our jobs as a coach is to educate and not just educate the kids that we're working with, but I'd be very keen in this scenario to have, you know, the first wet weather opportunity to get all of the parents in and do a PowerPoint presentation or show some footage and really to talk about your philosophy, Brett. You know, and it obviously sounds that you've got a good understanding of your fundamentals of batting, and I think it's important everybody knows that that's important to you. And once a player has got those fundamentals in place, then that is the time to introduce some of these shots that are being played on the television. And if you can get that across to your players and to the parents, you'll be very, very surprised how quickly they're on board and they're singing the same message as yourself. And then obviously all of the kids will know that they have to get their fundamentals in place before you go to these things. But they also need to know that you've got the capacity and the desire to want to coach the switch hit and the ramp and all of these different shots once they've got that in place. So I think you know, projection of your philosophy is really, really important into the wider audience, not just into those kids. I think it's important that we do have it in us to be able to teach these shots, because as my dad said, and I know I've said it before on the show, you never know who's walking into your coaching session. You know, you might have somebody like a Josh Butler, who I first coached at 12, who was going to, you know, quickly develop a game and develop a mindset that wanted to learn these types of shots. And it was my responsibility as a coach to make sure his game was in order and then be good enough to go with him on this journey of playing ramp shots and being able to whack the ball out of the park at the age of 14. From these bases that he now does in international cricket. So that was my role, was to be able to keep pace with him and not limit him, because my preferences were to, let's just keep going with the straight drive and the forward defence. I had to be able to grow with him at his rate, as well as him growing with me. And I think that's part of it. And again, that education process went into his mum and dad, and then they were able to speak the same messages when he was away from our environment. So I think that's the crucial thing here, Brett. You know what your philosophy is. Educate everybody else around you in that. Tell people that you will go with them on the journey of switch hits and ramps as and when the time is right. And then all of a sudden, you'll have all these people speaking your language. And when you've got that, you're flying.
As Brett says, you know, people are going to try it, whether you are participating in that or not. So do you become the enemy almost and say, you must never do that, and tell people off for playing a switch hit in the nets? Or do you think to yourself, well, okay, this guy's ready for it. I'm going to have a go at making sure he gets better at it, because you're going to look silly and that batsman's going to look silly if the first time he tries it is in a game and he gets himself bowled trying to play a reverse sweep at the wrong moment. Because shots like the reverse sweep and the switch hit are legitimate shots, but they're not legitimate shots in the way that a drive is a legitimate shot, in that you can play a drive at almost any point in any game and it's going to be a useful shot to play. There's not many situations where you think to yourself, well, I'm not going to play a drive here. But there are plenty of situations where you think to yourself, well, I'm probably not going to play a reverse sweep here. So it is understanding, having the batsman understand the context of when you would want to play that shot, as well as the technical side of making sure that they can play it effectively. And I think also it depends on the time you've got available with young players. If you've only got a very short amount of time available with a young player, then maybe you're not going to be able to have the time to coach these more advanced things. But you can still, it's still a concept you can introduce, you know, when you can talk to them about when they would think about playing the reverse sweep. Perhaps if they think about it, they might decide, well, I'm not going to play it at all because, you know, it's too risky. I'm going to stick to playing the shots that I know that I'm good at. Or they might think to themselves, well, yeah, I can think of a situation where I can play it. I want to be able to play it. I think I'm good enough. I can play the orthodox sweep pretty well. I'm going to have a go at it, and then they can go away and practice it by themselves. So it is, as you said, Gareth, it is very driven by the context and very driven by the player. But there's no reason to ignore it or fight against it purely because it's not a straight bat shot or a proper shot, or, you know, a shot that hasn't been in the book since 1954. These shots have been around for quite a long time, and they're played in all formats of cricket, so they're legitimate. It's understanding the context of them that's key for me.
Yeah, very, very true, mate. And I think one of the best bits of coaching that I've seen recently was a colleague of mine actually set some homework from 1 week to the other, which said, right, I want you to learn about the reverse sweep and the switch hit. I want you to scour the internet and get people's views on when to play it, how to play it, when it's a, you know, strategic, and then come back in. And you know, these two kids stood up and did a presentation on it, and everybody's awareness of the, you know, the context that you talk about was heightened, including actually myself. And I sat there and I went away having learnt two things I didn't know before, and the understanding then is done. It's in the bag. And then kids will start to play it. And when you say to them, right, why did you play that? Well, actually, I've done that because he's blocked off square leg, so I can't tuck a ball into square leg. And all I'm trying to do is get a reverse sweep away to get him to move one of the fielders in the ring to the other side, and then I can all of a sudden square leg has opened up and I can just tuck the ball in there for one. And that's fantastic because, you know, they've got the context, but they've got it more importantly from one of their own, their peers doing it, rather than it just being very, very coach-led. And that was a fantastic experience that happened or I was involved with about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I just wish I'd have come up with the idea myself rather than my colleague who did a great job in setting that up.
Yeah, that's a cracker. Okay, this week's Soapbox, 60 seconds to talk uninterrupted about anything that you like. Gareth, this week, over to you.
I think we're involved in a great game. I think cricket is a fantastic game, and I think there's a couple of sports out there that aren't brilliant games at the moment, and what I mean by that is that they don't set examples properly to the youngsters coming through, and football's one that I worry about because I love football and I love watching football, and in fact every day that I'm out in Sardinia this week we'll be playing football in the evening with the group that I'm out with, but actually it's the messages that are going out to the kids in football, I think, are really poor. You know, some of the stories that you read about players, some of the actions of the players arguing with referees and things, is being pretty poor. And in cricket, I think we get it pretty much right. And I'm lucky enough to be working this week with a group of people who have played international sport in both cricket and rugby. And they're two sports that I would always encourage any children to play in because it just brings up the right sort of people. So, if you are in football, then please sort your game out, and because rugby and cricket are leading the way in terms of developing good people with good morals and good ethics.
That's the end of the show for this week. As always, we have to decide on our winner for this week's competition. Of course, the best question of the week wins the prize, which is the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com, and you can find out more by heading over to the site and clicking on the courses link to find out more about that. So we had Imran's question about dieting, or diet plans for fast bowlers, and we had Brett's question about coaching reverse sweeps, switch hits, and ramp shots. Which ones did you prefer, Gareth?
Well, I really like Brett's question because I think we're facing that, aren't we? As the game expands and as a coach that does work with under 11 players, it's a sort of similar thing that happens around the environments that I work with young players. And I think that education of our philosophy, but also having the flexibility to go with the expansion of the game is crucial. So I really like Brett's question, and hopefully we answered it pretty well. So Brett wins this week.
Congratulations, Brett, and you can turn some of the advice that you get from the coaching course to some of the young players. We have a course specifically on some innovative shots, so perhaps you can head over to Ian Pond's section and have a look there. Now, Gareth, if somebody was listening to the show now and they thought to themselves, I fancy having my question answered and I fancy getting a free coaching course, what would they need to do?
Well, they could give us a call on 0208 816 7691 or alternatively drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. There's also the Twitter at PV Cricket Coach, and there is our Facebook page where we're still posting videos, and that's facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy. You can subscribe to the show if you do a search for Pitch Vision Academy in iTunes, or you can head over to pitchvision.com, click on the podcast link and follow the instructions there for how to subscribe in any other way or with any other device. So that's all for this week. Until next time, we'll see you next week. Cheers, Gareth.
Cheers, coach.